This year is a Masechet Chul on Daf Nun Tes. We will begin with the Mishnah towards the bottom of Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis. The Mishnah is going to tell us about various sicknesses of animals, and the rule of the Mishnah is that as long as it's not a treifa, even if there is a sakana to the animal, as long as it's not a sakana to the person, then the person is allowed to eat that animal. Begins the Mishnah. Achuzas hadam, if an animal has congestion as a result of blood, the Tiferes Yisrael says suddenly there was a large amount of blood. Rashi says that achsa dam v'cholsa, it got sick as a result of this. And the Rambam gives us a symptom that the animal chonka, choked, it had difficulty breathing. So it's a sakana to the animal. It could very well die from this. But this is similar to what we learned in the second parak, that hashoichet as a mesukenes, if someone shechts an animal that has a sakana of dying, as long as it's not a treifa, the shechita is kishera. And that's going to be the din in these various cases in the Mishnah, in the first ratio of the Mishnah. The second case is v'amush shenes. Rashi says that nichnas ashem begufa, that it inhaled fumes and smoke. The Rambam has an interesting shot. That mushenis means moirish chayra, that the animal had a depression, and as a result of that, it didn't want to live anymore, so sakana to the animal. The third case is vamutsunenis, the animal has a cold. The next case, sheochlo hardufni. Hardufni is a plant, oleander, and it is a samhamoves, it's poison to an animal, but it is not poison to a human being. Or it ate the feces of chickens, which again, the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos tells us that this is a sakana to a animal, to the animal, but it's not a sakana to the person. Or it drank bad waters. Rashi learns that this is maim megulim, water that was left open, and in those days they used to have snakes, and the poisonous snakes, and there was a danger that the venom of the snake was put into the water. Afal pikein, it is kosher. And the question is, why doesn't this pose a sakana to a person? The Miri explains that since it goes through an animal before it comes to the person, the animal dilutes the effect of the venom, and it is not considered a sakana to the person. Others learn that mayim horoim means putrid water that can make the animal sick. So in all of these cases, the halach is ksheira, because it's only a sakana to the animal, not to a person, and it doesn't render the animal treifa, therefore the shechit is kosher. However, ochla sam hamavis, if the animal ate something which was a sam hamavis poison to a person, not just to the animal, or a snake bit the animal, so then the halacha is that muteres mishum treifa, then ain't a chanami, it's not going to be forbidden because of treifa, but vasura mishum sakonis nefashas, but it will be prohibited because of sakonis nefashas, because it's a danger. Not only to the animal, it's a danger to the human being himself. Now the Tiferes Yisrael asks the question, what's the nafka mina, why does the Mishnah tell us it's not osur because of treif, it's osur because of sakana? What's the difference? Bottom line is he can't eat it. So the answer is, says the Tiferes Yisrael, that if it's osur because of a treif, so then we have a din of bitl b'shishim, that if it falls into a teruvus, it could be bitl b'shishim. However, if it's because of a sakana, then we have a rule of filib elifloi batel. There is no bitl when it comes to a sakana. The Sefer Dor Revi gives a different answer, that if the isser is because of treifa, that would remain forever. However, if the isser is because a sakana, that would depend on what the doctors tell us. If the doctors tell us that sufficient time has gone by and they check the animal and they say it's past the danger, it is no longer any type of sakana to a human being, then the human being would be allowed to eat it. The Sefer Minchas Bikurim on the Tosefta tells us that this is not only a halacha for animals, but all the halachas that were mentioned in our Mishnah apply to birds as well. Begins the Gemara, Amar Shmuel. halita chalsis, that if he fed to the animal chalsis, chalsis is a safatida, which is a sharp plant, which if you eat it, it can puncture the intestines of the animal. So the halacha is that it is treifa. My taima, the minkivala lume'aina, because it actually makes a hole in the intestines. The pri chadash says that even if he fed this herb, this plant, to the animal, even if he shechted it right away, and one would say, well, it didn't have enough time to have a bad effect, we have a rule that whatever is oimed to get a nekev in it, if it's standing, it's ready to get a hole in it, so it's ke'ilu, we consider it that it already has a nekev, and it is treifa. So the Prichadish says even a shechita right away would not be good, it would be considered a shechita on a treifa. Most of Rav Shizvi had a question on Shmuel. We learned in a brisa, the various cases which we've already mentioned, the Mishnah, Achuzas Hadam, Vamushenis, Vishachla Herdufni, Ushachla Tsoris Tarnagoylam, Vishasis Maim Arayim. That's all the cases we already had in the Mishnah. Halita Teya, now this is a new case. He fed Teya, is a very bitter herb, Rashi says, which is harmful to the animal. Or Chaltis, that's the case of Shmuel, the Safotida, which causes a Nekev, Upalplin or peppers. Or Achla Samhamovis, that ate something poisonous, Kshera. So the Kisha Nachish, however, if a snake bit, Oy Shenashcha Kelev Shaita, the Rabbeinu Gershom says Kelev Shaita is Mishuga, if a crazed dog, mad dog, bit the animal, so then there's not only a danger to the animal, it's a danger for the human who will consume that flesh of the animal. So the din is, Muteris Mishum Trefa, it is permitted for a Trefa, Vasur Mishum Sakonis Nefashis, but it is prohibited because of Sakonis Nefashis. So now, based on this brisa, we have actually two questions on what we've learned previously. First question is Kasha Chiltis Achiltis. The first question is on Shmuel. Shmuel says Halita Chiltis is Treifa. Here it says Beferish, if she ate Chiltis, it's Kasher. The second question is on our mission. Our mission says Achla Sama Maves is Sakana, and you can't eat it. And here it says Achla Sama Maves is Kshera. So we have two questions that we have to resolve. So the Gemara answers, Chaltis, Achiltis, like Kasha, Kan Ba'olin, Kan Bekartin. If it's speaking about the leaves, then it's kosher. Doesn't have such a sharp effect which will puncture and make a nekev. Kan Bekartin, here we're speaking about the Rabbeinu Gershon learns the carton are the stalks or the grains of the Chiltis. That's much more powerful, and that, in fact, can puncture, and that is treif if the animal eats it. Sama mavas has sama mavas like kasha. Your question about poison is also not a question. Hadidah, hadi adam. If it's only a danger to the animal, but not a danger to the person, then it's kasher. But if it's also a danger to the person, then it is treif. Ask the Gemara, you're telling me that in the brisa, when we said sama mavas is kasher, it's speaking about something that is only a danger to an animal and not to a person. We learned that already. Sam hamavis the behema, haina herdufni. That's the exact case of the oleander, which is only dangerous for the animal to consume and not for a person. So you've stated that. Why do you say it twice? The Gemara answers, trei gavni sam hamavis. Bryce is speaking about one case, herdufni, and then another, a different kind of sam hamavis, which is only dangerous to an animal, not dangerous to a person. And that's why if he shechted it, it is kosher. Now the Gemara wants to know, my tia. What is that item that you told us he fed Tio, which we said was a very bitter herb? What is that exactly? Amr of Yehuda, we turn to Daf Nun Testament Aleph. Ikra de Merisa. It is the root of Asenet, which is, or Merisa can come from the word bitter. It's a very bitter item, which the root is bitter, and that is what we spoke about before, Tia. Amar Rav Yehuda, Hai Man, the Ochel Talsa Takli Chalta, somebody who eats three Takli, Takli is a measurement, the weight of a shekel, three of these weights of Chaltis, Aleba Rekona, Rashi says, Kaida Machila, on an empty stomach, he didn't eat anything yet, so it's so powerful that Mishtalach Mishchei, his skin begins to peel off. The Rabbeinu Geshem has an interesting shot, and he says he gets a terrible itch on himself, and he starts v'chayif atzma. He starts to scratch himself actually nishtar boy or shalom until he has no skin that is on his body. He starts peeling off his skin. Amar Rav Avuha, said Rav Avuha, v'didi hava ovde, there was a story that happened with me, v'achli chatekla, and I ate one of these weights of chiltasa, v'iloy, I didn't eat three, I only ate one, v'iloy di'asri b'mayo, had I not been sitting in water, and which Rashi says, l'kara atzmi, to cool myself off, mishtalach mishchoy, my skin would have begun to peel, or according to Rabbeinu Geshem, I would have started itching myself, scratching myself so much, I would have ripped off my skin. But luckily, I knew the detriment of this, so I sat in water, and that cooled me off, and I didn't have a problem. Kayamti be'atzmi, I fulfilled in myself the following pasuk in Koheles, of hachochma techaya baleh, a person who's wise, and here it was medicinal knowledge that Rav Avuha had, it will sustain the owner of that knowledge. Since I knew what to do, I didn't have the bad effects of eating the chiltas. Amar Rabbi Yosef, haim anda ochel shitzrei bay, somebody who eats 16 eggs, va'arbiyam goizi, and 40 nuts, v'shev butisa deperche, and 7 caper berries, v'shossi reviyasnadav, he drinks a quarter of a lug of honey, when... And he's doing, Rashi explains, he does all of these at one time. Bitkufas tamas, in the summer months, aliba rikon, and he hasn't eaten anything. Mis akar talya de libe, Rashi says, the chut, there's a, like a thread that is mechaber, his heart, a string that keeps his heart all together, that cracks open, splits open. Apparently he can have a stroke, a heart attack, if he would eat such a thing. Now the Gemara relates a story. Ahu bar tavi, there was this young deer. The Asla Bei Reish Galusa was brought to the house of the Reish Galusa. The Havimifsik Karin Basraisa, that it's the bottom of its hoofs, of its feet, were cut off. Botke Rav, so Rav checked it. Bitsuma Sagidin. The Tsuma Sagidin are a point above the animal's ankle in the back leg, where several of the major sinews come together from the hind quarter, and they join together at the bone, and this has to be intact. And if this is severed, this would render the animal trefa. So he checked, and he saw that the bottom of the foot, it was under the Tsuma Sagidin. The Tsuma Sagidin had not been affected, and Mimela, the animal, was kosher. V'achsharei, and he was machsharit. Savru l'meichel m'nei b'umtza. So Rav, based on his psak, he wanted to now take some of the meat of this young deer, and he wanted to eat a b'umtze. B'umtze means it's not fully roasted, it's almost raw, it's salted heavily to remove the dung, and then it's grilled briefly on coals. So that's how he wanted to eat it. Amar le Shmuel, so Shmuel was there, and Shmuel said, wait a second, l'chai yishmar l'nikurei. Aren't you worried that maybe in the place where the leg was cut off, perhaps a snake had bitten that area itself and put in the venom into the animal, and then it would be a sakana? As the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to shechta, the shechita wouldn't be kosher because of the sakana of the animal. And the person wouldn't be allowed to eat it. The EU, so Amarlei, so Rav said to Shmuel, a good point, my takanta. So what do we do? How can we test it? So Shmuel had the answer. He said to him, nice vebetanur, let's put it into an oven. The EU bodik nafshi, it will check itself. In other words, if the snake's venom is in the flesh, the enzymes in the venom will break down the meat into little pieces. And that's exactly what happened. Oisrei, they put it into the oven. Nafal tilchi tilchi, it broke down into little pieces of meat. So they knew that, in fact, a snake had bitten, there was a sakana to eat it, and Rav, in fact, was not allowed to eat it. So Shmuel saved Rav from a sakana, from an iser to eat such meat. Kare Shmuel alei de Rav. So Shmuel saw how Rav was protected, that he was a tzaddik, that Hashem made it, that Shmuel was right there, and Shmuel saved Rav from an iser. So Shmuel said on Rav, the pasuk of loy yu'una letzadik kol oven, that no harm will befall the tzadik. And that's why he was able to save Rav from doing something wrong. Kori Rav Aleid Shmuel, Rav, who saw the greatness of Shmuel. Shmuel was a doctor, so Shmuel knew the problem. First of all, the chachma of Shmuel, that he said maybe it was bitten by a snake. Number two, he had the eitzah, the way to find out whether it was bitten by a snake, by putting it into the oven. So Rav said on Shmuel, kol roz loy onaslok. He said a pasuk in Daniel, where Daniel says that every secret is not hidden from you. And as you know all the wisdom, you're so wise. We begin the next Mishnah. Before we begin the next Mishnah, let's make a small Hakdama. The Mishnah is going to tell us the simonim of kosher animals, birds, grasshoppers, and fish. The Rambam in Hilchas Machos Asuras Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph tells us that it's a mitzvah asay for a person to know the simonim which render all kosher animals and birds, and that allows a person to eat them. And this is based on a pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Chav, pasuk Chav Hei. V'ivdaltam ben behema hatahara l'tmeya, u'beno oif hatame l'tahar. So you should make a separation, a difference. How do you know if it has simonim, signs that it's kosher? Then you can make the difference. Also, the pasuk of Vayikra Perek Yud Aleph pasuk Mem Zayin, which states lahavdil ben atame uvein atar uvein achaya nechelus uvein achaya shaloi soichel. And we'll refer back to this Rambam later on in the shir. Now, the simonim of an animal and a chayer are written beferish in the pasuk. In Vayikra Perek Yud Aleph and Psukim Beis and Gimel, the Psukim say, Zois hachaya asher toichlu mi kol habehema asher al oretz, kol mafreses parsav, shoysa shesa, prosois. In other words, it has to have a split hoof, which is not a little split like you have by a camel, but rather it's totally split into separate hooves. And then the pasuk continues, malas gera, it chews its cud, which means it brings it up and it regurgitates it, ba behema oisir sechelu. Now, it's interesting, the pasuk starts with chaya, and then it goes over to behema. In the Torah can very often call a behema chaya or a chaya behema. Here we see it's interchangeable. And in fact, these simonim of tahara of kashrus apply both to a behema and to a chaya. Now, concerning a bird, we're going to learn in our Mishnah, there are 24 Eifus Tmeis that are written in the Torah, and our Mishnah is going to give us simonim, how do we know if a bird is tor and is not one of the 24. In fact, if a person would know exactly what the 24 are, then he could eat every other, at least I think it's my colleagues were shining, but according to Rashi, certainly, he could eat any other bird if he would know. Unfortunately, we don't know exactly what those 24 are. So we need simonim. Now, can you rely on the simonim alone? The first simon, which the Mishnah is going to tell us, is that the bird should not be a dores, which normally is translated as a predator. We'll see exactly the definition of dores. But there's a very important Rashi on Daf Samach Beis Amid Beis. Rashi says, Nirali, the oif habo lefenenu, if a bird is brought in front of us, yesh loimer, yesh larishema yidrois, we have to see that maybe it's going to be a dores. The hach tarnegulta de agma, there was a certain rooster, they thought, Chazal thought it was kosher. Ula'acherzman ra'usha doresis. After time, they saw, no, it's a doris. Says Rashi, ve'ein oif necholanu ela b'mesoiris. Oif shemashu lanu aviseinu. The only bird that we can eat is the bird that was given over as a mesora, that we can't rely on the simonim, says Rashi. Only what our avis gave is b'tohar, that this is kosher. Ushaloi masrulanu yesh lachash. But if it was, we don't have a mesora on the bird, then we have to worry. Maybe this is a do race. Maybe it doesn't have the right simonim. Ube mesoris yesh lana lismach sha'if tor nechel b'mesoris. Because the Gemara says that an oif tor can be eaten b'mesoris. And so paskins the Ramon, Yaradea, Perig Beis, halacha, excuse me, simon pei beis, halacha gimel. Now, what's very fascinating is that question is, what about the simonim of Mefreses Parsons, Rishas Shesa, and Malas Gera, which we find by Behemoth and Chayas? Can you have an animal, you don't know if it's kosher or not, it has the correct simonim, can you eat it? Let's say you find an animal, this is the Negei Lamaisa, buffalo. Can you give a hechsher on a buffalo? A buffalo is Malas Gera, Rishas Shesa, Parsos, it has everything. But it's an animal that's only known in America. It's not found in the rest of the world. So can you eat a new min, which our avos didn't know, which we don't have in Masora, or not? So this actually is a big machlokas. The Chazon Ish, I just want to point out that we, if anybody wants to look into this Indian, we have on the OU radio, on the website of the OU, we have a channel, Ask OU channel, and we've had many programs in the Ask OU program which have discussed this issue. What I'm going to refer to now is a source book, which unfortunately is out of print, but if anybody would like the tshuva that Rav Belsky wrote, they could send me an email, grossman@ou.org. I'll be happy to send them the tshuva. In this source book, which we put out in Los Angeles, Rav Belsky discusses a bison, an American buffalo. Can it be consumed or not? So the issue is a shach. The shach in Yoredeya Simon Pei, Sifkot and Aleph, says, I'm not going to go into in detail the halachas of achaya, what makes something achaya. We'll learn about the horns. There's all kinds of simon, which will have an Ahmed Bez as far as horns go. I'm not going to go into it. Why? Says the Shach, Lefi she'ein lanu atel amasha kibalnu b'mesoris. U'kid l'kamon gabe oif. And therefore, katsarti. So, the Chochmas Adam, and so learns the Chazoin Ish. The Chazoin Ish is found in Yoredeya, Simon Yud Aleph. It's not really part of the Chazoin Ish. It was put in, as Rav Belsky points out here in his tshuva, on page 42 of this source book, that it was put in, it's a letter that the Chazon Ish wrote, and the people who published the Chazon Ish on Yoredeya, they put in this letter. So in the letter, the Chazon Ish says that based on his understanding of the Shach, which he says is what the Chochmas Adam understood the Shach, that the Shach means that we today don't eat any animal, a behem or a chaya, unless we have a mesorah. Just like Rashi said concerning Oph and the Ramah, paskins like this in Simon Pei Beis in Yoredeya, so too the Shach saying the same applies by a chaya or a behema, even if it has the simonim. So, however, and the Chazon Ish comes out that was minig in all of Lithuania to follow the Chochmas Adam. And therefore, the Chazon Ish would rule that a buffalo, l'chayra, one could not consume, even though it has the right simonim. You need a Masara on that also. However, the Primogodim and others, it's the Primogodim, the Kresiu Plesia, the Kafachayim, they're of the opinion that that's not what the Shach meant, because you don't have to be a big bucky in, you could see whether it's Mefreses Parsa, Shishas Shesa, if it's complete like a cow's foot split into two. You could definitely identify whether it's like a cow that regurgitates and has a lateral, its mouth goes like a cow when it's chewing its cud from side to side instead of from up and down. So you could definitely see whether an animal is a Malas Gera or not. And you don't have to be a bucky. The Rashi is speaking about drisa by an oif. There's rishonim, all kinds of pshatim, and one could make a mistake. Like Chazal themselves thought this bird was not a doris, and then subsequently after they said it's kosher, they saw that it was a doris. But this doesn't need any bekiyas. You don't need any mesorah for this. So what did the Shach mean? The Shach meant There, we know that chalev of a behema is treif. There are certain chalovim in a behema that's treif. Chalev by a chaya is kosher. So there are simanim, which the Gemara we're going to learn today, of how do you know the difference between a behema and a chaya? Those are already very complicated halakhas in the horns, and exactly do the horns measure up to what they're supposed to or not. So that is what, that's how the Prima Gadim learns and these other achrayim. That's what the Shach meant that we only learned by Mesiris. So therefore, Rabelski comes out that the OU, for example, gives a hechsher on bison. And he says that the Chazoinish, and Rav Wozner and B'nai Rav Rak wrote a tshuva like that also, even though the Chazoinish is Moira da Asra, but perhaps he's only the Moira da Asra of B'nai Brak, certainly not into Chutz Lortz, maybe not even in Eretz Yisrael itself. In B'nai Brak, one would follow the psak of the Chazoinish, perhaps that one would be machmer not to eat the buffalo. But outside of that, one could rely. And Rav Belsky points out that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky told him that when he learned for Smicha, he had to know every Prima Gadim. And I believe he said that the Chachmas Adam wasn't prevalent, but the Prima Gadim, so Rav Belsky saying that he doesn't even think that there was such a minig in all of Litta not to eat new animals, because the Prima Gadim paskins that you could, as long as it has the simonim. So this is a very fascinating shaila. Let us begin the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, simoni behema v'chaya nemru min haTorah. They're written in the Torah. V'simoni oif, but the simonim of a bird loy nemru. They're not written beferish in the Torah. But what, the Gemara is going to later tell us that what did the Chachamim do? They took one kosher bird and one treif bird and they compared them. The kosher bird was the tor, a turtle dove. The treif bird was a nesher, an eagle. And they found that there are four differences between them. Avalamru Chachamim, kol oif hadoyres tamei. A bird that is a dores is tamei. So we translate a dores as a predator. But in this beautiful pamphlet, which is again available, it was put out by Rabbi Chaim Loiki, Simoni Tahara Ba'ofis Ubeyim. He goes through the four simonim that we're going to learn now in our Mishnah. And he points out that parrots, seagulls, and pelicans are not considered predatory, and yet they are oifois hadoires. So you cannot make a definition. Doiris necessarily is what science calls predator, so we have to discover what does doiris actually mean. So it doesn't mean necessarily that it is eating up other animals as we would think. So Rashi here gives a definition. Hadoiris ha'oiches b'tziponov. He grabs on with his claws, and he lifts up whatever he's going to eat. Rashi further on Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, Divrei HaMaskil Vahani Mili, gives a slightly different. Rashi says, Nirali shekol oif hanoisen ragloi ala oichel kishu oichloi. He puts his foot on the food when he's eating it, umachzikar beragla, he holds it there, shalayonad v'loy yinatol loy, kuloy eitzel piv, hu drusa. In other words, Rashi says he holds down the food so that it doesn't move, and then he pecks away at the food while he's holding it down. That's considered a dores. So here already, parrots use claws in this manner. So there we could see how a parrot, according to this, would be called a doris. Rabbeinu Tam, further on Daf Samach Alpha Manav, does not like our Rashi, which says you pick up the food from the ground, because he says a chicken does that also. And a chicken, everybody considers, is definitely kosher. So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam has a whole different idea of Jerusa, and it means he eats the animal mechayim ve'enoi mamtin la'atcha Thomas. He eats the animal alive, doesn't wait till it dies. If you look here in the Rabbeinu Gershon, he gives us another explanation. Hadores tamei shekolet me'aver. He grabs it, while it's still in the air and doesn't let the animal that he's eating up land, that is called a daris. Now, it's very interesting. Rabbi Loiki, when he discusses the four simanim, he many times, and again, this is available on Ask OU channel, his programs, he shows that a duck, now a duck has webbed feet, right? So all the birds that have webbed feet, so they certainly don't have claws, they would not be a dores. However, if the definition was that they eat something up alive, they might eat something up alive. Now, perhaps we'll say, well, a duck for sure is a dores. We know it's not. But the question is, it eats up things alive. He's shown many times where he put goldfish down, and within 3 seconds, the duck has eaten up alive all the goldfish that are in that bowl. So does that mean that a duck is a dores? No. It means a dores is he takes from a living thing a piece of that while it's still alive. But to swallow something totally alive, let's say a bird will swallow an insect alive. Does that make it a dores? No. So the fact that a duck swallows up alive a goldfish does not make it, even according to the Rabbeinu Tam, into a dores. Okay, that's the first one. Kol oif ha-dores tamei. So if it's a dores, then there's no question, you know it's tamei. But now, kol sheyesh loi etzbi yaseir. Now we have three simanim to show that it's a kosher one. Kol sheyesh loi etzbi yaseir. What is an etzbi yaseir? So Rashi says that it etzba ha-gavoa she-achorei etzbois. It has, let's say four claws in the front, three or four claws in the front, and then it'll have one in behind. Let's say three, it has three in the front, and one which is lifted above the other three, and it is facing in the opposite direction in the back of the leg. That's etzba yaseira. However, other Rishonim, the Run says, for example, that etzba yaseira is elongated, that the middle finger of the three that are in the front is very long. And this we find by turkey, chicken, quail, geese, ducks, and pigeons, and doves. They all have this. The other one, which the Pshat of Rashi, that we have, where it's not on the same row, it's higher and it's in the back, that we have by geese, ducks, and chickens, but we don't see it by doves and pigeons. But the one of the Run, and the Ramban says the same thing, that we see by many more. By the way, okay, let's go further. That's one thing. So that is etzbi yaseira. Then it has zefek. It has a crop. A crop is where the bird keeps the food before it goes into the digestive tract. And the final one to show its kosher is kurkubonai niklav. Kurkubin, the famous story of a Baruch Bear who finally found the kurkubin, he said, the heilige kurkubin. He had never seen it before. The kurkubin is a pouch, and inside the pouch, this is the stomach where the food is ground up. Inside the pouch, it's lined with like a latex material, and if you're able to peel that off with your hand, so you could peel off this inner lining, this inner membrane, from the outside muscular pouch with your hand, that is a siman that it is a kosher one. Here in the book, here's a kurkuvin that is split open, and here's the inner lining, and that's something that if it can be peeled off, then it is a kosher. Now, how many of these simonim do you need? So Rashi further Daf Samache says, Kol oif ha-doris tamei, ba-vim ein oidoris, v'yesh loy oid shloisha simonim, da-havalu arba, b'yaduishu tar. So Rashi seems to say that you'll need all four things to say that a bird is kosher. However, the Rambam tells us, first he tells us, Perek Aleph Halach Yudches, Hoya kurkvin niklav besakit. What happens if you could only take it off with a knife? Ve'enoy niklav biyad. You couldn't peel it with your hand. Ve'en boy simen acher. It has no other simen. Afa pisha'ein adiris, even though it's not a diris, harezeh suffik. So that's a suffik. But then in Halacha Yates, he says a very interesting thing from Amru ha-go'inim. The go'inim said, shemisairis hu biyadeyim. They have a tradition. She'ein moirin lahatir oif haba b'simen echad. If you have only one simen, it's not a diris, that's a prerequisite, but you only have one of the other three. You're not matrid. Ella imhoya oise simen she'yiklav kurkubanoi biyad. If with your hand you could peel it off, avalim einay niklav biyad. Afal pishyeshle zefek oyetzpa yisera me'oilam lo yituru. They were never matrid just based on Zefek or Etzbi Yisera. But however, there are Rishonim who say that if it's not Dairus and you have one of these three Simonim, it's okay. So we have a various sheetahs here in the Rishonim. Continues the Mishnah. Rab Lezer, Rab Tzadok Amar, Kol Oif HaChoylek Es Raglof Tomei, which means that a Simon of Tumah, that it's not kosher, it has four toes. If you put a string or a bar, and the bird has two in the front and two in the back, then it's tummy. A kosher one will have three in the front and one in the back. Now, there was a big question. Most of the eggs that we get in America are from the white leghorn chicken. And people had a question. They asked the Bedatz in Eretz Yisrael. And here in America, a few years ago, there was a big tumult. And they said, we see that it has two and two. And they wanted to prohibit it, and therefore we wouldn't be able to eat eggs. Most of our eggs comes from the leghorn chicken. However, the Bedatz already wrote a tshuva, the OU was masking to this, that it only goes two by two when it's getting settled on the string. But later, when it's comfortable, when it's not agitated, then it goes with three and one. And Rabbi Loike, who did research on this, found that when the handlers of the birds take them and throw them into the trucks in a very not gentle manner, then when they land on something, they go two and two. But when they're normally tranquil, we find that they are three and one. So the Bedatz and Eretz Yisrael paskin this way, the OU paskin paskin as well, and therefore, we were able to save the leghorn chicken. It's kosher, and the eggs are 100% kosher. Continues, if anybody wants to know about this, we have an article written in Daf HaKashrus, volume 12, number 6, on page 19. Again, Grossman at OU.org. I'll be happy to send it to you. Continues the Mishnah. Ubechagovim. Now we come to grasshoppers. So we have four simonim. Kol shliyeshli arba raglayim. It has four legs, the arba knafim, and four wings, the kurtzulayim, and it has leaping legs. Uknaf of chayfenes ruboy, and the wings cover most of the body of the locust. Now Rashi says that the two, in other words, there are six legs, four plus the two springs. The two springing ones are near to the neck above the four regular legs. Now, all the locusts that are known to us have the springing legs below the regular four legs. As a result, Rab Chaim ben Attar prohibited any chagovim from being eaten. However, in Yemen and in Morocco, they have a Kabbalah Mesorah to eat the desert locust. And we had a ASCO-U program in Lakewood, where we had it actually in Lander College in Queens, and we had a Yemenite Jew who lived in Lakewood, and Ari Zivotofsky and Ari Greenspan, who did the program there, they took a locust, a live locust, put it into a frying pan in front of everyone, and they offered it to him to eat. They showed on the video where the Yemenites consider this like candy. They eat it like matuk. It's a sweet delicacy to them. And however, this gentleman didn't want to do it in public, but he said that in Yemen he had in fact eaten it. Now, what about the point that Rashi says that the jumping legs are near to the neck above the other legs, and the ones we know are lower? So we have a picture taken with permission from Art Scroll Sottenstein edition, and here we see the front legs and the springing legs are behind. So how could it be kosher? The answer is their Masorah is that right over here, which I've circled in red, is something like a person's foot, like the bottom of our feet. That's how it's curved. And they say those are considered the Kartzalayim. Now, they have a different Masorah than Rashi, who says that it's the whole leg. That's how we interpret the whole springing leg. And therefore, based on their Masorah, they do eat the Chagovim. But there's another condition. Besides these four simonim for Chagovim, what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, Ushmo Chagav. It has to be known. Even though Chagav is one of the minim that are written in the Torah, which are kosher. Chagav is also a general term, not only for a specific species of locust, but it's a general term for locust if it's called Chagav. Now, it's interesting, at this Masorah conference in Lander College, the two Aries showed that the belly of the kosher locust, which the Moroccans and Yemenites have a Masorah, on the belly there is the letter Ches. It goes in three directions on the belly. Remez Ushmo Chagav, its name is starts with the letter Ches Chagav. Ubedogim, what about fish? Kol sheyesh le'snapper v'kaskeses. It has to have fins, and kaskeses are scales. Now, actually, the Rambam in Hilchos Machos Asuras Perek Aleph Halacha Chav Dalet says, and so it's a psak in Yoredeh Simon Pei Gimel Sif Aleph, that the Torah spoke as a singular, and it's permitted even if the fish would only have one fin and one scale, it's permitted. The Ramban says that he was told that there is a fish that has by its tail only one scale on the whole body, and that is permitted. There are those who say, well, if it has only one scale, it could have gotten it from a kosher fish. It fell off and went on this. So they only permit it if you find the scale by the jaw, the tail, or next to the fin. Otherwise, they're worried that maybe it came from a different fish, but others are of the opinion that as long as it's stuck onto the fish, anywhere in the body of the fish, it makes it kosher. Snapper v'kaskas, Rabbi Yudah Omer, shnei kaskasin, usnapper echad. Since it says kaskas, double, so there you need two, but you only need one fin. Ve'elen kaskasin, what is a kaskasis? Hakvuin boy, that are permanent in it, usnapper hapareich ben, which it uses its fins to glide through the water. Rabbi Kiva Eger brings down that the Rambam changes a word and says not kvuin boy, but dvukin boy. What does that mean? The Rambam is interpreting what do we mean by kavuin boy. The Ramban in Chumash tells us kavuin doesn't mean that it's part and parcel of the flesh of the skin of which you cannot get off unless you rip the skin. If you can only, as Rabbi Chaim Goldberg, our fish expert, Rabbi Chaim Goldberg has pointed out, if you rip, the only way you can get off the scale is by ripping it. That's not a kosher fish. So kvuin means dovuk. Yeah, very easily, either with a knife or with your hand, as Rabbi Goldberg has demonstrated many times, just by putting your fingernail along the fish, off comes very easily, the scale comes off the fish. But if it's very attached that you have to rip the skin, then it is not kosher. That's why the Rambam used the word dvukim to be meram is what the Ramban says, that it's all, what does the Mishnah mean, kavuin? The Mishnah means it's only kavua relative to the snapper. The snapper is a movable part of the fish by which it glides its way through the water. The scales don't move. But of course, you have to be able to slip it off with your finger. Okay, begins the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Eilen simani behema. These are the simani of a behema. We have it in the Chumash. The Pasuk in Devorim says, Perik Yudal Pasuk Vav, Kol behema mafresis parsim shesah shesa shtei process malas ger ba behema oisus sechelu says now the Gemara says a klal kol behema shemalas gera biyadua she'ein lo shinaim lamal any animal which chews its cud you know that it doesn't have teeth on top It only has teeth in the back of its mouth, the molars, but it doesn't have the front teeth. Utahira. And then it is kosher. So in other words, as we'll see, you could check the teeth and you'll know whether it's kosher or not. Ask the Gemara, v'klolahu, is this a rule? V'are gomel, a camel, the maliskeira. So the Gemara here told us 2 points. First, it told us a physical anatomy point, that an animal that's maliskeira means it has no front teeth. A cow has no front teeth. It also told us that based on this, the animal is kosher. So the Gemara is challenging, I'll bring you an animal that has no front teeth, and it's maligera, and it's tummy, not kosher. Which is that? The gomel. V'arei gomel, the maligera, who ve'ein lo shenayim l'mal, v'tomei. So the Gemara says, no, you made a mistake. Gomel nivyasli. So Rashi has 2 pshatim. Either it has, you're right, it has no front teeth, but it has on the side, in the front, it has canines. Those teeth, on the extremity of the front, on either side, has one tooth. So that's sufficient. Secondly, he brings me P. Moiri from his Rebbe, that it means it has gum, and the gum is a protrusion that is like having front teeth. So Mimela, you have no kasha. So really the Gemara could have said, well, you just told me if it's Malagera, it has no front teeth, now you're telling me it has some front teeth. It has canines, it has protrusions like teeth. So your rule, your physical anatomy rule doesn't seem to work out, but the Gemara is going to ask different questions. Vare ben gomel, what about the son of a camel? That's a young camel. The nevi namilesle, it doesn't even have the canines. It doesn't have those protrusions from the gum. And yet it's what? The halacha is that it is tamei. It's malagera, it has no front teeth, and yet it's tamei. So the Gemara could have answered, well, the min, it's part of a camel, which eventually is going to have those front teeth. But the Gemara gives a stronger question. Visu harei shefen, the hyrex, varneves, and the hare, the malas gerahein, as it says in the Torah, they are malagera. V'yeshlan shenayim, they have teeth, lamala, utmeim, and they are tummy. So your rule is not a good rule. You said whatever's Malaskeira has no front teeth. Here it's Malaskeira and has front teeth. Rav David Hoffman in his Pirushan Chumash has a major question. Physically, the hare and the hyrex are not Malaskeira. How does it say in the Torah Malaskeira? So different ideas, but one idea which I'll share is that Einachanami, physically they are not Malaskeira, but the way their mouth moves when it eats is like an animal that is maskeira. It goes lateral from side to side and not up and down, like a human being up and down. So it's enough. That's called maskeira. Maskeira means that it has the outer appearance of an animal that is maskeira. That's what the Torah considers. That's one way that he wants to answer this very difficult question. So the Gemara says, V'oid, and I have another question, Shinayim miksivi baraisa. What's this whole fixation on teeth? We don't find anywhere in the Torah teeth. So therefore, the Gemara, Elahachi Kamar, just the opposite. Not if it's malas geira, it doesn't have teeth, but this is the rule. Kol behema she'ein lo shenayim lamala, biyaduashi malas geira, mafresis parsa v'tayra. If you, for example, let's say you can't check the feet because it's cut off at the bottom of the feet. So you don't even know if you have that simen. But you have a quick way to get to the simen. The simen is, if it doesn't have front teeth, you know that it's maliskeira and mafresis parsa. It's not that if it's maliskeira, it doesn't have front teeth. A gomel is an exception to that. There are neves, we have exceptions, the shofet. The opposite, every animal that doesn't have front teeth, you know that's a maliskeira. Frank Gemara, what do you have to go to this roundabout way? So you're telling me, it doesn't say teeth in the Torah. I'm just giving you a quick way to check. Go check the hoofs. You can want answers. The hoofs were cut off. Like Rav Chizda said, Dom Rav Chizda, a person was going in a desert. He found an animal that its hoofs were cut off. So what could he do? He checks the mouth. If it has no teeth above, then he knows that it's tar. If it has teeth, then he knows it's a tame animal. But he has to know a gomel. Because if he doesn't know what a gomel looks like, then he could be getting an animal that's malageira, and he doesn't have the feet to look at, and it doesn't have teeth. The Gemara says, wait a second, gomel nibiyisle. You told me before that the gomel does have teeth in the front. Elo bavachi yakar ben gomel. He should at least be makara ben gomel. This is not a camel. If he doesn't know what a camel looks like, so a camel, till it grows up, doesn't have front teeth. It's malas geira. You can't check the feet, they're cut off. Then you'll be chashom, eating something treif. So that you have to know. So there's a big kasha here from the Rab Reuven Katz and Shas Chuvas Degel Reuven. He says, we have a rule, b'chol tarkuli, go bust a rife. Why does he have to be an expert in what a camel looks like, even if he doesn't know? But the only animals, there's three animals that the Torah considers malas geira that are not mefreses parsa. That's the camel and the shefen and the arnevis. So he doesn't know what these animals look like. But all the other thousands of animals in the world, there is no such thing that it's malas geira and that it's not mefreses parsa and that it's not tor. So why let him go after Roif? He said he asked a lot of gedolim this question and he didn't get a good answer. He says, I want to suggest the following, says Rab Reuven Katz. We mentioned before the Rambam. The Rambam says that a person has to know the difference between the simonim, to learn what's the difference between Tomei and Tor. If you're going to be Simach on Roiv, you're going to be Mevatel the Mitzvah Saseh. The only reason you're eating it is based on Roiv. You can't do that because you're being mevatel a mitzvah say deraisa. The mitzvah say is that you have to know it by way of simonim. So if you know it through the mouth, that means it's a malas geira, and then you know it's kosher. But if you're only going to be, then you're going the simonim route. That's good. But if you're going to go with the roiv route, you're being mevatel. You're only eating this based on roiv. He says that's not prohibited. That's why he has to know it's not a ben gomel. Continues the Gemara, wait a second, if you're telling me there's a Ben Gomel who doesn't have teeth, and it's Maas Geira, and yet it's Tomei, Lav Amrat Ike Ben Gomel, Ike Nami Minacharin the Domi Ben Gomel. Maybe in the world there is another animal that's like this. So how could he eat? Maybe there's another animal. Loi Sal Kedata, nah, don't think like that. The Tani Debe Rabbi Shmuel, we learned by in the base measure Rabbi Shmuel, Vesa Gomel, Kimalas Geira, who? We have a word who. It is a malas geira, and therefore you cannot eat it because it's not sheshashes, it's not split the hooves through and through. Shalit boy lama yedei, Hashem, who rules over his entire world, and he knows what's going on all over the world, he knows she'ein loch dover malas geira v'tomei ala gomel. The only creature that is malas geira and tomei is a gomel, and Rashi says, and hu adin a shofon and an arneves, and it also says, by shofon and arneves, it also says, by shofon it says, ki malas geira hu uparsel lo yafris, and by arneves it says, ki malas geira hi uparsel lo yafrisa tmeya. So those where the Torah says, who, these three, that's it. Hashem, the Maratz Chiya says, what's this Lashon Shalit Boi Lama Yedeya? That from Rabbi Shmuel, we learn out Torah Min HaShemayim. How do you know that the Torah was given by Hashem, and that there is Hashem, and that He gave us the Torah? Because all the scientists who have found animals with expeditions all over the world, no one has been able to disprove this. So how did Moshe Rabbeinu know it? He only knew it, Ruach HaKadosh, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who told it to him, who knew it. This shows Torah Min HaShemayim. Lefikach poured by a kosev who? That's why the Torah said ki malas geira hu. It is malas geira and not kosher because it's not shesah shesa. But you don't have it by anything else. Amar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda made a similar statement. Hoyim halach baderech. He was going on the way. Matzah behema shapia gomim. He found an animal whose mouth was mutilated. So now he has no way to test with the teeth. Boydeg b'parsa says so he could check in the feet. In parts of Sesadugas, if the hooves are split all the way through, Biyadushi Tari, knows it's Tar. Imlav, Biyadushi Tmei, knows it's Tami. Ubavad, Shiyaki Chazer. He has to know a Chazer. Because a Chazer is split hoofs, but it's not Malas Geira, it's Tami. So, Fred the Gemara, wait a second. Lav Amrit Ika Chazer, Ikanami Minachrin Adidamil Chazer. Once you're telling me there's one exception, maybe there's other exceptions. How could he eat it? Loisakadat, don't think like that, the Tana Rebbe Rabbi Shmuel. Ve'esa chazer ki mafris parsa hu. Again, we have, it is a mafris parsa, and it's not a malageira. It shalit by lama yodeya. Shem knows she'ein loch dover shemarfitz parsa. V'tamei elachazer. The only exception to the rule, something that has split hooves and is still tummy because it's not malas gera, is a chazer. But otherwise, if you know what a chazer looks like, you know that this animal in front of you is not a chazer, then if it's mafis parso, automatically it's also malas gera. So even if the mouth is mutilated, you're able to eat this animal. The tanis beri shmal, the es a chazer, ki mafis parso. Who? Shalot boi lom yadeh, shen loch dover, shemafis parso, tamil chazer. Fikach, porat boi akosef, who? It is mafis parso. And not malas gera, there's nothing else like it. V'yamar Reb Chizda, hoyu mahalach b'midbar, u'matzah be'hema she'piyo gomum. It's mutilated mouth, you can't check the teeth. U'parsiseh chatuchos, and the feet are cut off at the bottom. So do you have one other test? Boydik b'psar, he can check the muscles of this animal, as we'll soon see, in a certain spot. Im mahalach she'asivarev, if he can remove it, lengthwise and widthwise be a duishi tyra, then he knows it's tar. Vim lav, but if he can only do it widthwise, as Rashi says, be a duishi tmei, he knows it's tame. Ubavad shiakir orud. As long as he knows what a wild donkey looks like, because a wild donkey has it shesi ve'erev, and yet it is tame. Frag the Gemara lav amrad ikka orud ikanami menechud dami lord. Maybe there's another animal like an orud. The Gemara answers, similar to before, Gemiri Deleka. We have a Kabbalah that this is the only exception to the rule. The Hechabod, where do you check this meat, this muscle that can be removed? Shesi Ve'erev, Amar Abayev, Yitam Rav Chizda, Bekan Fe'o Okitz. Rashi's Girsa is, Tachas Okitz. Under the tail, there is a muscle, and that muscle, you could tear it either Shesi or Erev. That's a simon that it's a kosher animal. Continues the Mishnah. Simone Chaya, the simonim of a wild animal. Tana Rabbanan, Elain Simon Chaya. I'm going to give you now the simonim of a Chaya. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean simonim of the Chaya? Chaya b'chal behemahu, the simonim. We learned in our mission, we saw in the Pasuk, the Pasuk interchanges the word Chaya and behema. I don't need special simonim for a Chaya. Amar Rav Zera, as we turn to the Afnun Testament Beis, lahatir chelba, to permit the chelev, because the chelev of a behema is tamei, there are certain fats. The chelev of a chaya is tahora. So you know the animal in front of you is mafris parsa shirsash sesa malageru. You know it's kosher, but I don't know if it's a chaya or behemah. On that, I need special simonim. V'hachi ka'amar. Eilu ein simoni chaya shechel b'mutter. These are the simonim of a chaya to permit its chelev. Kol, these are the two simonim. Kol sheyesh like karnaim, it has horns. We'll soon see special kinds of horns. Utlofim, and it has hoofs. Now, the Tosfos learns that the hoofs are to prove that it's a kosher animal in general, and it's really the karnaim, the horns made in a special way that prove, as we're going to learn how it's made, that prove that it is a chaya. Others learn that the tlofim themselves by a chaya are more pointed than the tlofim of a behema. Rabdoisa Oimer, Yeshla Karnayim, if the animal has the horns, simen, iatotzarech lachshal tlofim, you don't have to look at, even if the tlofim are cut off, if it has whatever you need to make good horns for a chaya, then you don't even have to look at the tlofim. But Yeshla tlofim, if you'll say, oh, I can prove it's a chaya because I'm looking at the hoofs, tzarech ato lachshal al karnayim. No, then it's not a simen mavik, because there are behemoths where the tlofim of a behema are similar to those of a chaya. And therefore, that's not such a good simen as the simen of the karnayim, the keresh. And this animal, which we'll learn later in the Gemara exactly what a keresh is, afal pishein leila karen achas, even though it only has one horn, the Bach puts in the word, chelboy, its chelev is mutter. The Meram Aranshburg says now we have a vav. Ask the Gemara, v'klolahu, is it a klal that if you have karnayim and tlofim, that you're a chaya, vareez, a goat, the eish like karnayim, it has horns, utlofim, and it has hoofs, v'chelboy aser, and yet its chelev is prohibited. Answers the Gemara, kruchos bein. It's not enough just to have horns. You have to have kruchos. What does kruchos mean? Rashi says that it's layered. I believe the Rishash says, like peels of an onion. In other words, the keratin that makes up the horns, it runs around and around like a peel to make up the actual horn. So you need a layered, and by a goat, it's not layered. Ask the Gemara, V'arei shor, dikruchos, it is layered, the chelboy osir, and yet the chelv is osir, and we say a shor is not a chaya. So the Gemara says that what we need is charukos be'inan. Charukos means that it has grooves in it, that it has grooves, that it's not one same material, but rather round and round the horn there are grooves. More of Ra'ez, back to the goat, the charukos, that it has grooves, the chalbayasr. So Rashi points out over here that what kind of question are we asking from A's? A's we already brought up before, and we said it's not considered horns because it's not, it doesn't have peels. It's not karuchos, right? So Rashi says that it seems that the Gemara is thinking that maybe once we brought the aspect of charukos, grooves, we go away that it, you have to have karuchos. And this point, Tosfos in the sugya here learns differently. We'll go according to Rashi. And this point, the way Rashi is learning it, we're going to come back to in a few moments. But let's bear it in mind that it's possible that karuchos we don't need anymore. And that would seem from the Gemara's question. We're not using karuchos. We're using only charukos. So an eis has charukos, which are grooved, and yet chalbiyos are sitting more. It says, move it solis bein. We need another thing. What's move it solis? Rashi learns it's branches. And as you have like one horn branching out from the other. Frag the Gemara, v'arei tzvi. What about a deer? The ein mefutzol is that it's not branches, v'chelboi mutter, and it is a chaya, and it's chelov is mutter. So Rashi asks here, I don't understand this Gemara. Rashi says that, lo yadana my kamar, what are you talking about? A deer, a tzvi, has branches. It's not one piece, like a shofar, one long horn. It is branches. What's the Gemara's question? Therefore, Rashi says, must be that what the Gemara is referring to as tzvi is different than what we call tzvi. The Gemara tzvi, Rashi says, must be a steinbuk. A steinbuk is an ibex. So an ibex, in fact, does not have branched horns. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos in Divrei HaMaskil Rei Tzvi disagrees with Rashi. And he brings many proofs that a tzvi in the Gemara is what we know as tzvi, which is a deer. For one example, the Gemara says, why is Eretz Yisrael called Eretz Tzvi? Because a deer, just like a deer, that when you take off the skin, ein oiroi machzik es besaroi, then when you try to put the skin back on the flesh, it can't cover it. It's like elastic. While it's on, it covers the flesh. Take it off, and you can't get it back. The same thing Eretz Yisrael. It's elastic. There's so many people living in it, and it's able to spread out and contain all the Jewish people. So this we find by a deer. We don't find it by a steinbuk, which is an ibex. Also, the Medrash says, we have a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Doi med doi di litzvi. My beloved one is like a deer. So the Chazal say, Ma tzvi zeh b'shoshu yoshin. Just like when it's sleeping, one of its eyes is still open as it sleeps. Hashem, even when Hashem is in darkness at night, and we're in Golus, but Hashem didn't close both of his eyes on us. One of his eyes is still open. Where do you find that phenomenon? You find it by a deer. You don't find it by an ibex. So Rabbeinu Tam is proving that a tzvi is exactly what we call tzvi, not a steinbuk. So as a result, the Rabbeinu Tam learns a different pshat in Mufutsalis. Because, of course, Rashi's question is correct. A deer is branched horns. Tosfos learns it's really mibutzolos. And he says a bez and a pei could be nischalef. What is mibutzolos? Mibutzolos means it comes to a curved tip. And a deer, the tip is not a curved tip. That's how he learns. It's interesting. Rav Sadia Goin learns that, you know what the Gemara here is referring to? A gazelle. And a gazelle has the characteristics of Tosfos. It sleeps with one eye open and the skin stretches. And yet, it doesn't have branches. It has two shofars on it without branches. So, and others want to say that when Rashi said Steinbuch, he didn't mean Bedafka only Steinbuch. Maybe he held like Reb Sadie Gaon. He meant the Steinbuch family. And in the Steinbuch family, we could include a gazelle. He meant it's just not the deer that we normally refer to as Tzvi. So, okay, continues the Gemara. Vare Tzvi de'eim mefutzoli. So according to Rashi, it's not branch because we're referring to a gazelle, like Reb Sadie Gaon. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it is a Tzvi, but it doesn't have a curved tip. The chelboy mutter, and yet the chelv is mutter, it's a chaya, and it doesn't have the right kind of horn. The answer is chadurois be'inot. We need chadurois. Now, what does chadurois mean? So Rashi says that chadurois means they're round. You find the Masoras HaShas in Ois Beis brings from the Oruch that they're round. They're like circular. Whereas the ones of a goat are more flat and wide, and they're not circular. And that's how Rashi learns. Now, I would appear to me that Rabbeinu Tam has to learn like the second pshat that Rashi brings down. Rashi brings down a different pshat. Chaduris means chadin lamala. They come to a sharp point. Because if chaduris would mean round, so what was Rabbeinu Tam saying? That a goat, that a deer doesn't have a curved tip. You remember his pshat in Mutzos? A curved tip. Well, if it doesn't have a curved tip, it has a straight horn that goes straight up. So it doesn't have a curved tip. It's not round at all. It's like a tree, like branches of a tree going up. So how does Rabbeinu Tam learn chaduris? Must be Rabbeinu Tam learns. No, oh, a tzvi. A deer doesn't have curved tip, but it is round, it does have chodin lamala, comes to a sharp point. It's no connection with round whatsoever on a deer, but at least the deer has chaduris. Whereas an aes, it does not have chaduris. It's more flat, and according to the pshat of a sharp point, it apparently doesn't come to a sharp point either by a goat. Therefore, it's not a chaya hilkach. Now comes the rule. Hecha de miftzla, if there's a branch, if you have a kind of horn that branches out, loidin of loidina. There's no judge and there's no case. And as Rashi says, a closed case, that's a simon muvik, that it is a chaya and the chaylev is mutter. Hecha de loy miftzla. But where it does not branch out, be'in, and then we need three things. Kruchois, chadurois, v'harukois, which means kruchois, it has to be layered. Chadurois, either it has to be, we said, rounded, or that it comes to a sharp point. And charukois, it's grooved. But there's another condition. V'hu, the mivla charikayu. That's only if the grooves are one goes into the other, but not that they're independent one groove to another. V'haina sveika de iza karchos, and this is the suffix of the iza karchos, this special animal that was called an iza. It had a name of an aes, and it had a name karchos. And now in this we have two pshatim. One pshat that the Rishonim say is, what's the suffix? The suffix is, did this Iza carcass in fact have Mivla Charikayu? Did it have grooves separate one from another, or one groove ran into the other one? That is the suffix, whether it's a Chai or a Behema. And here we have the Prima Gadim that we said in the Hagdama to our Mishnah. The Prima Gadim says that this is what you need a Mesorah on. Now, the machloek is the chazonish and the prima gadim is an animal that we don't know if it's a chayer or a behema. Could we accept it to eat it? We know it's kosher. It has the malus gerim afresa parsa sheshash shesa. According to the Chazon Lakish, no, you have to have a mesorah on any animal that you eat, just like you have to have a mesorah on a bird. According to the Prima Gadim, no, of course you could eat it. But now, to decide whether it's a behem or whether a chaya, you have to be machmer, that it has the chumrah of a behema that the chalev will be usher. Rabelski says by a bison, even though you're allowed to eat it, but don't go deciding that it's a chaya and therefore you can eat the chalev. No, the chalev, in fact, will be prohibited. Because on that is what the Prima Gadim says, pshat in the shach, in Simen Pei, halacha aleph, in Sifkat and aleph, that the shach is saying, on that is what we need a mesorah. To decide that it's a chalev, the chalev is mutter, that it's a chaya, we see it's a very complicated thing to decide whether the horns are the correct horns of a behema or of a chaya. This, so according to some Rishonim, this is the suffix of this Iza Karchus, which we're going to see right now in the Gemara. They had a suffix, whether it had a din of a chaya or a behema, whether the chalev was mutter or usser. According to Rashi, the Rishonim and Achronim learn in Rashi that Rashi says that the suffix of Iza Karchus was, do you need two simonim, which the Iza Karchus had? And what is that? That its horns were chadurois and charukois. It was grooved and it was round. Or do you need three? You need also kruchois. If you remember a few moments ago, we said that kruchois were not sure whether that is something that the Gemara, Rashi learned that the Gemara fell away from that. That the Gemara, that's why the Gemara asked by Eiz again. Vare Eiz the charukois. And we said, well, Eiz is not kruchois. Rashi said the Gemara fell away from kruchois. That itself is the suffix of Iza Karchus. Do you fall away from it or not? Do you in fact need three things? As the Gemara said, Be'inan kruchis chaturis charukais, and then an Iza karchus is not kruchis, it's not layered its horns, therefore it has a din of a behema, the chalev will be usher. Or is that not a requirement for the horns? All you need is charukais and chadurais, and an Iza karchus has it. Rashi says an Iza karchus seems to be a behema because its name is an Eiz. But the Rishonim learned that the Pshat in Rashi is not only that its name is an Eiz, but perhaps it is a behema because you need three things to make it a chaya, and this only has two things in the horn, and therefore it has a din of a behema and not a chaya. Hahi Iza, not a Gemara says the story. Hahi Iza Karchus, the Havi Bei Reish Klusa was by the Reish Klusa. The Ocker, they were able to pull out Molet Sina, a basketful, the Tarba Fat, Mina, Rav Achoy Asr, because he held that it has a din of a behema. Rav Shmuel Bered Rav Avua, Ochumina, he ate, he held it had a din of a chaya. Kori Anafshi said on himself, Mi Pri Pi Ishtizba Bitnoi. As Rashi explains, from what I learned, and I was makabel from my rebbeim, that this animal is a chaya, from my learning, I was able to be matur that I could eat this chaylev. Shalchem Itam, they sent a message from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Hilchas lekavaseh to Shmuel Bereid Rav Avua. The halacha is like Shmuel Bereid Rav Avua, that is the fat from Iza Karchus is from a chaya, and therefore you're allowed to eat it. But vizaru b'rabbeinu achai. But be careful from Rabbeinu achai. Shemer eni goylohu. He lightens up the eyes of the diaspora. In other words, he's a great Talmud Chacham Rashi says, don't be maturit in front of him unless you speak in learning with him and you're able to convince him that he should have charata from his psak that it's chaylev of a behemoth, it's usher, and he should agree with you. But otherwise, in front of him, in sensitivity to his greatness, don't paskin that it's mutter. We learned before that if to eat it in front of him, you're not supposed to eat something mutter that another person considers usher. But Rashi's saying even another step, not you're going to eat it in front of him, but you shouldn't even be mutter it in front of him unless you can bring him around to agree with what you are saying. Continues the Gemara. V'keresh afa b'shein lo yala keren achas mutter amar Rabbi Yehuda. Keresh, what is that? Tavya de Beiloi. This is the deer of the upper region, which Rashi says was a name of a forest or a wilderness. And Tigras, this animal called Tigras, you know who he is? Aryeh de Beiloi. This is the lion of this same area of Beiloi. We're going to see it's a huge lion. Amar Rav Kana, Teisha Amas Ahavi Ben Unu Leuna Da Arya De Bei Loi. It was so huge that there was 9 Amas. The Rabbeinu Gershom says Unu Leuna is not like we learned before in Eilu Treifas, the lobe of a lung, but here it means Me Oizen Leoizen. The whole face from one ear to the other was 9 Amas wide, the face of this ferocious lion, as we'll learn in Mirt Shem in tomorrow's Shir. Amar Rav Yosef, Shitzen Amisahavi Mashche de Tavi de Be'eloi. Mashche usually means a skin. Here Rashi says the orech, the length of the deer from Be'eloi was 16 Amis long. And in Mirchem and tomorrow's Shir, we will learn all about this Aryeh de Be'eloi with the story of the Kesar and his discussion with Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya.